Alright, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, the girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is yet another Skype cast, and we have with us yet again our friend Deuces Wild.
Hello, thanks for having me again, ladies.
Oh, we love having
you. You're always welcome, Deuce.
Always.
Thank you.
So, this is episode 17, Ike Icky.
Ike Icky.
Yeah,
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, yeah. Good times. Make it quick.
Had by all.
Yes, yes. But before we can jump into the fun stuff, I gotta do a little bit of business, because, you know.
As usual.
Gotta get the business done. You can't have fun until you do the business part.
Well, you could, but then you still have the business, and you wouldn't want to do it after you had so much fun.
Exactly.
Well, don't they say business first, pleasure later, or something like that?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Business before pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes,
business
exactly.
Before pleasure. You can't put your business in your pleasure because that's illegal in most of the states.
Whoa, and it also sounds like another podcast. Too.
It does. In fact,
it
another
is.
Podcast. But
it
you
is.
Gotta keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, home of the best.
The fucking best.
I knew you were gonna do that. The fucking best. Girl gaming and anime podcast ever. You gotta grab our podcast, read our stuff, comment on it. You could win free shit, people.
And who doesn't like free shit?
Really? At this point in the game, you all know, we all go to trade shows and things like that in the hopes of filling up our swag bag. Yours could be filled with candy if you just comment or hit us up on our form, following the hit us up link. See, we make it easy for you. On the website, give us a comment, question, story you found that we haven't talked about yet. Send it to us. If we like it, we'll comment about it. We'll put a post up on it. And again, you'll be entered. Could win free shit. It's all good.
It's all good.
Now, when you come to the website, you also need to click on our brand spanking new Freshware link to go to our store so you can buy stuff. Our stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff which is the shit, as I've been told.
It's the fucking balls, man.
That
reminds me, I have to pull some of my Nintendo Wii reservation money away so I can buy something on there.
Yeah.
A shirt or something.
You know.
You
we got some stuff there. We got more stuff in the pipeline, too. See, the stuff that's in the
We're working on stuff that everyone could be working it with the freshware.
Basically, because as it turns out, the internet is a series of tubes. It's not a dump truck. It's a series of tubes. At least that's what the, you know, senator from Alaska said. So, I mean, he's a senator.
Wow.
He can't be wrong, right?
There's a lot of tubes.
And sometimes stuff gets stuck in the tubes. Anyway,
yeah.
I'm digressing. You can also call us on our toll-free number, which is 1-888-333-8985. It's a free call for you.
It's free love for us.
And we love that. And you can make a comment that way or ask a question. And if we like it enough or we think it's funny, we'll put it on the website for everybody and their cousin to hear.
And then they'll think you're totally cool.
Yeah. And we all know.
You're not.
Wait. No, I didn't say that. Panda said it. So just make sure you get the her email addresses and send all the comments to.
If anyone's checking out our site, they're all cool.
Yeah. You know, we love that.
I was just kidding for that random person who might not just come across our site. You're cool by accident, but you're still cool.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. The last part of the business, as I try to dig you out of the hole, is
I know that you're digging myself into.
I know. I just had to let you go. I was like, well, I thought she'd stop, but.
Some virtual backpedaling.
Yeah. Yeah. This week's candy bitch.
Who is it?
Suzaku no Miku. You got candy, bitch!
You are a Suzaku. Man, they got it all wrong then. They should have taken Miyaka out of that series, like, quick. they must have the casting.
But Suzaku's getting the props and getting the candy because she made submissions for our AMV gallery that's coming.
Oh my god, our
AMVs! Yes, and I've seen her AMVs, and they're actually pretty good. So,
hey, AMVs ain't nothing to shake a stick at. Okay.
No, I mean, it's obvious a lot of hard work went into it. So congratulations to Suzaku on getting candy.
Congrats.
Yippee!
All right, and that's all the business I have. I'm done. So, Panda, the mic is yours. What are you going to do with it?
Oh, yay. I'm actually, I think since the last Skype cast, I'll talk about something kind of random and kind of semi-risque and kind of sexy. I think I'm going to stay on that
okay.
this week.
Okay.
Thanks to magic, you know, I've been, you know, pretty...
The missing magic?
Yes, the okay. voice that we were going to reveal.
Yep.
I guess we're not revealing her yet.
Nope. It's a Houdini, but in a totally, like, non-sexual way. Please continue.
Yeah. And she and I both have Comcast, and uh-huh. that means we have demand. Now, sadly, we don't have the anime network, so we don't get to watch anime all the time, because trust me, I would.
Oh, no, not you.
Yeah, I set up right next to my WoW. But anyway, I managed to get away from my computer, slowly weaning myself off of WoW, and I came across this little section in the on-demand called Ike Tosen, which actually was a complete series that they put on demand.
Okay.
And, you know, when Magic was talking to me about it, I didn't seem all that interested, not to mention I have four different series that I'm borrowing from friends that I should watch so I can return to them.
Right.
But, you know, they can wait. But, you know, I saw this and it kind of been bugging me, so I was like, all right. I'm like, I'll watch the first episode, see if it rings my bell, and I'll go off from there.
Right.
And I started watching the first episode, and I kind of end up watching till episode 7.
So it kind of drew you in.
It did. And it's really surprising how it did, because it's like I said, it's called Ike Tosen, which it's adapted. This anime series was adapted from a manga called Battle Vixens.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stipulation about it, because apparently a lot of the things that happen in the series kind of only happen in maybe the first two or three actual mangas of Battle Vixens, so it's lightly adapted from.
Okay.
It doesn't get its main storyline from the manga.
Okay.
Anyway, there are these 7 schools, and within these schools there are guys and girls who are blessed as fighters. They are given these jewels, and if you've ever seen Blue Seed.
Yeah.
I love those Blue Seed. The seeds?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
The jewels look like those.
Okay.
Within these jewels are the souls of these fighters that were around during the Sengoku-shi period, which is an actual period in history.
Okay.
And if I actually might go and look that up a little later on so I can give people a better understanding of it, because I'm kind of curious about it myself. And it's actually kind of based off some Japanese history. And each of these souls, you know, they carried a fate. So these new people who are blessed with these jewels are destined to follow the fate of the soul within the bead.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You know, these 7 schools have all these different warriors, boys and girls alike, who are skilled, badass fighters who are pretty much, it's like a giant game of Risk.
Okay.
Okay. Each school is trying to take over all the others. All
right.
And this one girl, her name is Hakufu. She's, you know, blonde with green eyes, so I think she's supposed to be American.
Oh, you think?
Since they seem to think that every foreigner is blonde with blue or green eyes.
Aren't you?
I know I am.
I am.
So when I go to Japan, my hair's going to be blonde and I'm going to have green eyes.
Yeah. I'm not yet, but I'm working on it.
Good for you. It's a work in progress and you got to have a goal.
So she's coming to Japan to go to this academy. That's one of the 7 schools. And she's been given one of these special beads. Her mom, who's actually played by one of my favorite voice actors, Wendy Lee.
I know her.
She plays the mother of Hakufu in this series. And she plays this, you know, they keep calling her old, but, you know, obviously even older people in anime tend to be, like, really cute looking.
Yeah.
So, like, her mom's, like, really cute looking, and you already know Wendy Lee's voice, and her mom knows more than Hakufu does, and she doesn't want to tell Hakufu what her fate is.
Okay.
You know, and she's been been omitting.
Yeah.
You know, her destiny. You
is
know,
she
and,
embarrassed about it, or?
But no. You find out that, you know, Hakufu's gem, the soul that's in her gem, was a great hero who actually united all of the countries, but he died at a young age because her soul's a male.
Oh.
And
okay.
Possessed by this dragon spirit that made him want to fight a lot, to the point where he died at a young age because the will to fight was so strong that it literally tore him apart from the inside.
Ouchie.
And yes, and she didn't want to tell her so that she would be ruled by her fate. She wanted her daughter to live a life, and she thought if she didn't tell her daughter would never follow that fate, and she'd live longer.
Okay.
You know, so so it's actually got a really, you know, serious line if you're looking for it. I mean, it's not going to, like, walk up and say, hey, I'm the storyline, here I am. You know, like, it really doesn't do that for you. So, you know, she shows up in Japan, and her cousin, and I think they're far enough cousins where if they wanted to do the hibbity-dibbity, it'd be okay. Because
like
he's got...
four times removed?
Yeah.
On your stepdaddy's side?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got the hots for her, and it's so apparent. Like, at first I was like, well, who is he? Maybe he's just a boy in her class. And then she's like, wow, my cousin should be here any minute. You know, and Hakuku, like I said, is this blonde girl with green eyes, and she's got really big, wobbly boobs.
Well, that always helps.
Okay.
And she never wears a bra. And she wears the shortest skirts possible, and you always see in her bum. And she's really, and she kind of comes off like a big ditch. Like, she's stupid.
Uh-huh.
No, she's just, I love fighting. It makes me so excited. And I mean, like, and you know what kind of excited she means.
Okay.
She's not like, oh my God.
So,
yeah,
so
like,
does she look like that female blonde character from Mabaraho? The German one that was, like, always trying to, like, be naked near Kazuki Shikimori.
Well, she's kind of got, like, the big boobs like her.
Uh-huh.
But her hair's not that kind of blonde.
Okay.
It's like a golder-esque blonde.
Okay.
And not a platinum blonde.
All right.
You know, and she's just stupid. Like, she can hardly read, you know, and she loses her sacred bee, because in the first episode, her mom tells her that she's got to overtake Nanio Academy, which is the academy that she gets sent to.
Okay.
She's supposed to become the ruler. So she's like, the mom's like, you need to go and kick 30 people's asses and dominate Nanio. So she's like, okay, you know,
yeah.
And she runs
My mom
off.
Tells me stuff like that all the time.
I know.
She's like,
you know, and she
you gotta go like three doors down and like beat up 10 of your neighbors so that you can rule your apartment complex. Happens all the time.
Yeah. So I mean, this mom's not exactly right, you know. But you know, she goes off to the school, and she as soon as she walks on campus, you know, all the guys are like, oh my God, her breasts are so huge, I want to touch them. Oh my God, she's so yummy. You know, and they're like, what are you doing here, sweet cheeks? You know, and she starts whooping ass. Doesn't say hi, nothing, just starts whooping ass. You know, and the cousin's all in his classroom, like, reading about the Three Kingdoms, because actually, the story kind of revolves around the Three Kingdoms, which talks about the Sengoku-shi period.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were three kingdoms that occurred during that period.
Right.
But read into that more, and I'll most likely read into it more to elaborate on it.
Wikipedia. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah, most likely. Yeah, go check that. And so the cousin's running out. Now, mind you, he's also bound by a bead. And the soul in his bead actually was the sworn guardian of Hakufu's bead. So pretty much, he's supposed to protect her with his life. So he's got this whole, oh, no, she's starting a fight. I've got to jump in. I've got to save her. You know, and he's, like, wimpy, like everyone else in this school, like, they're all kind of, like, buff and really strong. You know, he's kind of like that, like, smelly kid in the corner who doesn't really, like,
smelly
you know, so
kid, smelly kid, don't know what
so
your
you don't
mother did.
So. Powerful because he seems very meek.
Right.
But he's actually quite an accomplished fighter. You know, he comes out and he's too late and all these guys are on the floor. You know, and there's this one really, really big guy that she calls Gao-chan. I can't pronounce his whole name to save my life, and I've been trying for, like, the last 30 minutes, and it's not going to work. So I'm just going to call him Gao-chan, because that's what she calls him.
Okay.
And he's all like, I will not fight you until you show me your bead. Now, most people tend to wear their beads on their ears.
Yeah.
You know, and she has it in her ears, so she's like, oh, my God, where did I put it? So she starts groping on her boobies and starts,
oh,
like...
Oh, my God.
And Now, mind you, you know, all she's wearing is the dress and the panties, you know, and she's like, I know I put it somewhere, and, like, everyone's like, all the guys are kind of like, oh, this anime is
no.
Disturbing. You know, there's no, I don't think there's any way, any, like, horny boy who ever watched this episode would not, like, get a boner. Wouldn't happen. Wouldn't happen. So, you know, she can't find the bead, and you find out that someone actually took it, and you find out that she usually stuffs it between her boobs. And she's
so
like,
how did she miss somebody stealing her bead?
Well, apparently, while she was fighting, she gets pushed back into his hands, and he grabs her boobs. And, I mean, I actually had to watch this episode over again because, you know, I thought I missed it. But, I mean, it's kind of quick. Like, if you're not paying attention to his hand, you don't know. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's tricky, you know? And she's like, well, someone's got to help me find it. It's got my name on it. You know? And they're like, you put your name on your sacred bead? What are you, stupid? You know? And she's like, I'm not stupid. But, you know, she totally is. You know, but she's like, I do have one. You know, and she's like, and my name is this. You know, her name's Hakafu Sonsaku. So everyone kind of just stops because apparently Sonsaku is the name, the last name of the, like, Shohan, which is, like, the hero guy that I was telling you about that her right. bead, or the soul in her bead is. So this Gao Chan guy's like, oh, my God, it's him? No, in this body? No way. I don't believe it. And he's like, If she's who she says she is, she should be able to defeat me hands down, no problem. So he's like, beat the shit out of me, beat the shit out of me, beat the shit, you know, and she's all like, you know, she wants to fight, she loves to do it, but she kind of stops, because she's like, wow, are you like a masochist or something? Because, you know, I like to fight, but I don't want you getting off on it, you know, because that's going to take away from me, you know, and this guy's getting really mad, and this guy's like chiseled and like jacked and like could snap me like a toothpick and like rub me together to make a so I wouldn't fuck with this guy, you know. And she goes and she kicks him, you know, and at first, you know, he doesn't move or anything, so you totally think that like the kick didn't affect him, you know. And he's like, wow, that was pathetic, you know. And he beats the crap out of her, and like literally like punches in this series is kind of like, oh, I don't know, being like flung through five walls.
Okay,
you know, like powerful. There's a lot of epic battles in this 13 episode series.
Wow, 13 episodes? That's it?
Yeah, only 13 episodes. So you can imagine just how much fighting is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty much every 4 seconds, someone is getting their ass beat.
How are the fight scenes in it? Are they pretty good or just
like they all have like their different particular fighting styles? So I mean, they all fight differently. But they're all actual styles that anyone could possibly learn. Now, obviously, people aren't going to be shooting, like, chi beams out of, like, their arms.
Kamehamehas.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, come on. I've perfected my Kamehameha wave, people. You should see it. Like, it takes a little while to get it started.
Oh, come on.
I have to call on the essence of everybody on the planet, and sometimes people are busy. Some people are in the shower. But my Kamehameha wave, once I got it, like, all together... Oh, shit's a bomb. You gotta see it. I do it at parties sometimes. But
let me ask you this, Ninja. Does your Kamehameha wave take 15 episodes to build up, or?
Mine actually takes about 4.5 episodes to get the...
You really do have it perfected.
I do. I've got it down. You know, before it took like a whole 36 run of episodes to get it really working. But now I've got it down to about 4 episodes. You know, the first just to, you know, explain why it's purple.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 3, I actually build up the Kamehameha wave. So, okay. You know, I've got it down.
I hear that you've perfected it, Ninja.
Yeah, it's taken me a while. You know, I had some spare time.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But, so getting back to it, this whole story is pretty much about this one girl, you know, who doesn't know anything about her fate, but just likes to fight. And, you know, during the whole series, you know, of the whole 13 episodes, you know, up until episode, I'd say, 12, she has no clue that she actually has a fate. You know, and then she accidentally comes into her cousin's bedroom and finds this book on his desk, and he happens to have it open up to the part of the history that about her past life, and she happens to read it. So, like, episode 12 to 13, she finally knows what her fate is. You know, her fate was to unite these kingdoms, which she does, but she dies at a young age at the hands of this other warrior. And you'd meet this warrior, like, in episode 7, and she's, like, this really cute girl also, you know, and she's got these, like, weights on her arms, or, you know, at first I just thought they were cool, like, armbands, but, like, you know, finally in episode 13, she's like, now we will battle, you know, and you know, Hakafu's like, all right, let's do this, I'm gonna kick your ass, you know, and, like, and this girl's like, wait, I have to take off my weights, So, you know, and all the guys around her at the point are like, oh, my God, Yukitsu is taking off her weights. You
know, everyone's like, armband weights?
Yeah, armband weights, and also on her ankles.
Kind of like Rock Lee on Naruto with the weights as the leg bands.
Yeah,
and same thing with Goku and all that with the weighted armbands.
Yeah. Piccolo had the weighted shoulder pads.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, so she takes them all off, and everyone's like, oh, my God, she's like an unstoppable force now. You know, and she's like, man, those 40 kilos were heavy. You know, and you hear, like, the big, giant thunk, so you're like, fuck. You know, and they go at it, and it was Hakafu's fate to die at the hands of Yukitsu. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, they're fighting, and all, you know, and they're bloody, and they're panting, and their clothes are ripped off, and boobies are showing, and they're wobbling, and I mean, you know, if you're not paying attention to the fighting, you're definitely paying attention to the booby wobble.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you kind of can't ignore the boob. You can't. Even straight women would have to go, damn, those boobs are wobbling. Okay? Like, you can't ignore them. And
these boobs will not be denied.
No, they won't.
Please continue.
No, so finally, you know, Hakafu's like, you know, she's like, I like fighting, you know, and I just learned about my fate, and you know what? I'm not going to pay attention to it. And she takes off her bead, and she throws it to the ground, you know, and Yukitsu's like, man, I feel like the exact same way. And she takes off her bead, and she throws it on the ground, and then they just start sparring. So they completely don't care that their fates say they're going to do one thing, because they're defying their fate.
Uh-huh.
Because everyone else in this series was like, oh, I was Kogetsuman, and my fate was to die at the hands of so-and-so, and then he'd battle so-and-so, and he'd die. So, like, they were all so consumed with what their fate said that they would do that they fell prey to their fate and were consumed by it.
Uh-huh, okay.
Why am I hearing an underlying message?
There was. And it only came out in episode 13, because everything else is just like, I'm going to fight this Sterling Ripper, clothes off, rawr! And, like, I mean, seriously.
Okay, so the message to be learned is don't fall prey to the wobbly titties, because you'll die.
Exactly. Wear stronger clothes when battling.
Yes.
And
sports anyone? I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny, because one of the girls, when she fought, she wore this maid outfit, and she was kind of sadomasochistic, because she did all these strangulation moves that apparently, I was looking it up, you can actually learn to do.
No, you
can't.
You
know, and like this. Yes, you can.
No, I said, no, you can't.
Oh, well, I can't do them, but, you know, I could be trained. But seriously, this one move, like,
no, you
I have
can't.
To talk
Please.
About
Go ahead.
Because it was just so, like, awesome. Like, she took her legs and she wrapped them around, like, Hakafu's head, and, like, she was going to make her go unconscious, but before you go unconscious, you kind of have an orgasm.
You got my attention.
yeah, you know, if you could train some, look, I know somebody that needs to learn that technique, so find it online, just let me know.
But, like, I thought it was so funny because, you know, and this character who's in the maid outfit, you know, she's like, you're going to succumb to my pleasure before you pass out, and then I will be the victor. You know, and at first I thought she was just going to make her pass out. And, like, maybe she's going to, like, pee a little bit because, you know, sometimes when you, like, lose control of your body, you know, if you got some urine up there, you know, it kind of sometimes comes out.
That's another podcast. Please continue, though.
It's true. But you know, it wasn't that. And it was like, oh, my God, that's you. I thought it was interesting. I've never thought that you could do that before. But apparently you can. And look it up. You'll find it. But overall, you know, I don't know who license is this series. Not yet, because it was on demand and it didn't, you know, do the whole little promo of who licensed it and who published it and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Wendy Lee, I didn't recognize any of the other voice actors, but that's not to say that they're not popular.
Uh-huh.
That just means I don't watch enough anime. And
I'm sorry, that's a lie. That's a false statement if ever I've heard one.
Yeah, we know that's not true.
But overall, you know, considering how odd that this series was at first, I really did enjoy it.
So is it something that you would, like, put on when you needed something just to laugh about? Or is it something that you would put on, you know, because you need background noise? I mean, enough there to draw you in to make you really want to sit and watch it?
Well, see, I tend to watch almost anything.
Right.
You know, so I'm kind of,
But for the noobs, okay? Like, if you had, a cousin coming over.
For newbie people, the boobies are definitely enough to keep you sitting there going, why the heck are her boobies so wobbly?
Gotcha.
You know, and then wow, her clothes are coming off. Wait, they're fighting. Hot chicks fighting. I'm totally game.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, this is definitely something that could possibly pull you in and, you know, keep your attention. Obviously, if you've watched it enough times and you just want to, like, hear the voices like, oh, no, you ripped my shirt, you know, then, you know, you could definitely keep it on for ambient background music. But, I mean, I was watching this around our father, and, you know, he had to come in and give me a couple looks a couple of times. And I don't blame him because, you know, at 2 in the afternoon hearing, oh, my God, my mom makes me so excited. Well, obviously, yeah. I would definitely expect someone to walk in and be like, what the fuck? So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's a very enjoyable series. And once I find out who licenses it, I will most likely be buying it.
Because right.
Since it's only 13 episodes, I wouldn't expect it to be horribly expensive.
Yeah, it's a 13-episode run.
Yeah.
So I
would just say it's all good. And straight women, you know, gay women, straight men, maybe gay men who just like to look at big boobs once in a blue moon would probably really enjoy this series just for that alone.
So it has something for everybody.
In a sense, yeah. And there are, like, lesbians in it, too, really hot lesbians. So for our gay women out there, you might like this, too.
Okay.
A lot.
So there's something for everybody in Ikitosin.
Pretty much.
I like it.
I liked it. So don't be a punk bitch and check it out.
I'm pretty satisfied with it so far.
All right. And that's spelled Ikkitosen?
Yes, it is.
Anybody looking for it? Ikitosin.
Go check it out. And don't you dare say you didn't hear anything about it from me, because I'll kick you in your punk ass face.
All right. You heard the panda. She's threatening violence if you don't, you know, represent.
I think she has a hostile fate on her somewhere.
Yeah, it's because she's weaning herself off of WoW. She's, you know, it's making her a little aggressive. Detox does that to you.
It does. It's hard.
You know, she's going to get angry and lash out, and then she's going to be all apologetic and, you know, go through all the steps, you know, but she's making progress. At this point, I'm just glad that I don't have to, like, call Dr. Phil in or something. Because I was like, this close. Just be like, Montel, have Sylvia tell me where my sister is. I know she's playing WoW somewhere in, like, an alley or something. I know it. She's down at the Panera for their free Wi-Fi. I know it. I just can't find which Panera. Tell me, Sylvia.
I'd be like, only one more bar to 60. Only one more bar to 60. I've got a good...
Yep, I'd just be like, snatch the power cord.
Like, no!
But anyway.
You have a problem. You have to deal with it. You're destroying the family. Anyway. Now, I'm done.
All right, Ninja. It's your turn.
My turn already? All right. Well, this week has been an interesting week for me because, for the most part, I didn't have anything negative to talk about with Sony. It had been, like, a really quiet week. I realized that. I didn't have anything. And then it happened.
I knew it.
I wasn't looking for it. And then... But Kaz Harai was doing an interview. And Kaz Harai is the president of Sony Computer Entertainment America, so the Sony branch over here that handles all of the PlayStation stuff, okay? He is the face, the mouth, if you will. Was doing an interview, and in the interview, he kind of, you know, let it slip that they're not actually manufacturing PlayStation 3 units yet. And this kind of, they've got people over in China scouting out factories. But they're not on, you know, the assembly line yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of set up a whole bunch of red flags for me because I'm sitting here going, okay, if you're not actually making the boxes yet, how on earth are you going to have 2 million boxes ready to ship, like, and be in the States on November 17th.
Better yet, you're charging me $600 for something that doesn't exist yet.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty much that's what's going on. And Kaz didn't really have an answer for that. He's like, "Oh no, we're gonna meet all of the orders, and we don't want to make the same mistakes that, you know, other companies." And obviously, he was talking about Microsoft as far as their shortage on their launch, because Microsoft really could not make enough Xbox 360s fast enough when it launched. I mean, there were people that, you know, were still, who had pre-ordered systems, didn't have systems in their hands January after the launch. You know, I mean, there were some people that were really pissed off. But they're like, no, we're going to meet all of our goals and things like that, because, you know, they had always said that they were going to launch, that they would initially have about 2 million units in the U.S., on the launch day, and that before the end of the year, they would have 4 million PS3 units in the U.S. So that means from their corridor of November 17th, which is the launch date for the PlayStation 3, and December 31, they had expected to have 4 million units in the U.S., which, you know, sounds like a decent enough number that, you know, you could fulfill pre-orders and that there would still be, you know, a few boxes here and there at your local stores, so there wouldn't be as much of lines and things like that in the stores to get these units. However, seeing as how they haven't started the manufacturing yet, a lot of analysts are saying, well, if they're not even putting boxes together yet, how on earth are they going to have these boxes ready on the 17th, okay? Because I don't think that they're going to. A lot of the analysts are saying, we don't think that they're going to meet that initial 2 million either. We think that they'll be lucky if they have 700,000 boxes put together for the November 17th launch.
There's no way they're going to meet that demand.
There's no way. There's no way. I keep thinking, okay, if they were to start production now and they went, you know, nonstop every day, I still don't think that they would meet 2 million boxes ready for the 17th. They still haven't, you know, finished getting backwards compatibility working. Even though they've built in a PlayStation 2 architecture, things aren't still quite jiving properly. And I think that part of the reason why they haven't started manufacturing is because they can't cool the sucker fast enough. I think that they're still having heat problems because of all of the hardware that they have inside the box. I think that that's what's keeping them from starting manufacturing.
And this just leads me to believe that a rush job is going to take place the closer it gets to the release date, and it's going to be the same thing with the PS2 launch, with a whole bunch of defective systems coming out.
Oh yeah, because if anybody remembers when the PlayStation 2 launched, the initial systems all had issues. Some had bad lasers, some didn't cool, some just plumb didn't work.
Yeah, there were a few that didn't even power on.
Okay. Yeah. One of the people at the GameStop that I'd actually pre-ordered my system with, he was back the next day because his system wouldn't power on. I mean, so, and don't get me wrong, whenever you're doing any kind of manufacturing, things like that, obviously, sometimes things get assembled and they don't get assembled properly, or contacts aren't made properly. I understand that. But if you're not rushing the job out the door, those types of things tend to not happen. So I start reading all this stuff online, and I start thinking about, you know, back when the Sega Genesis came out and when only Nintendo was ruling the console world and I still had my Nintendo Power subscription, you know, I was trying to think back to what it was like when those new systems came out, because I was trying to remember what the hype was like and what the rollout was like. Because I don't remember having to stand in line to get my Super Nintendo.
No, there was no such thing before.
Okay.
No
you
such
just,
thing.
You just went to the Toys R Us. They had like 100 behind the glass case. You had your mom go get the manager with the key. He pushed the glass back and handed you a box, and you were like, yippee!
Some of the salesmen were asking you if you wanted more than one.
Oh, yeah, all the time. When my mom bought Panda her Genesis, he asked us how many we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said, just the one. You know, But I don't remember any kind of rush. I don't remember Nintendo having to say that we plan on shipping 3 million Super Nintendos to US, North America by this date. I don't remember that kind of, you know, just build up, just hype. You know, if you knew about the systems, it's because you got Nintendo Power, so Nintendo would have a little blurb about this new system that was coming out. There might be an ad or two to get parents interested in the system that their kid's probably going to ask them for in, like, their Time magazine or anything. But there was no big push, and there was always plenty of systems. There was never a hard time getting a system until the Nintendo 64 came out. And that's when the hype started, because at that point, Nintendo was trying to one-up the Genesis console. And that's when I remember them starting to make a build-up about when games were going to be available at launch and how well the system could do and why it was so much better than the existing system. You know, before then it was just the, well, this is the system that you have to have if you want to play this game and that game. Because if you wanted to play a Mario game, it was only going to be on the Nintendo system. If you wanted to play Golden Axe, there was only one place you could find Golden Axe, and that was kind of it.
Yeah. You know, and things were a lot simpler back then.
They really
were. Things were a lot simpler.
You know, and I'm not trying to make this about, oh, that was the heyday of gaming, and, you know, boy, those were the days, but I think they really were, because if you think about what's happening now with the PlayStation 3 and all the hype that Sony's been making about it, the fact that they're not going to meet their initial goal of 2 million units for November 17th is going to have a huge effect. I mean, think about it this way, okay? Pre-orders are taken based off of how many units a company says they're going to be able to push out the door and launch, okay? So if Sony says, we're shipping out 2 million units to the U.S., that means that all of the GameStop stores get a certain allotment out of that 2 million. All of your Targets and all of your off-brand, your Sears's, any place that has an electronics department that wants them gets a certain amount of those units off the top sent to their stores, okay? And out of their allotment, they have to decide how many of those will actually be for pre-orders and how many of those they actually want to, you know, be able to have out on the floor for regular people to buy, because they can't exclude walk-ins from being able to buy units, because that's against the law. Gotta have an ample shot. So you can only have a certain percentage of your allotment be pre-orders. Okay. The reason why GameStop isn't taking any pre-orders for PlayStation 3s yet is because they don't know how many they're getting, because Sony hasn't made any yet. Okay. We're all running off the assumption that they were going to have 2 million. If they're only going to ship, I'll be generous and say 700,000 on November 17th. That means that, for instance, GameStop, who has 4,400 stores in the U.S., gets a certain allotment out of that 700,000. Okay, I'll be generous. I'll say a million. Okay, now out of that million, let's say that each of their stores gets 100 boxes. Okay, that means that out of that million that Sony's going to make, GameStop by themselves gets 440,000, which only leaves 560,000 units left. Right. That's a huge chunk to take out of that initial shipment. Because they're game, and that's GameStop, EB, all of those chains put together. Which means that each of those stores will get probably, they probably won't even get 100. Most of them will only probably get maybe 20 to 25 here and there as shipments become available. Now, out of those 100 that I say they're going to get, a certain amount of those can go to pre-orders. But that means pre-orders for people who have actually walked in the stores and pre-orders for people who have been to the website. And let's not forget that GameStop EB also fulfills Amazon.com's orders. So now we're talking, out of that 440,000 that they got, they have to be able to fulfill their pre-orders, the pre-orders on Amazon, and walk-ins. And then that additional 560,000 gets split up between Best Buy, which has close to 2,500 stores, I think, across the nation now, and all of your Sears's, your Targets, your wholesale clubs that are going to want to do bundles. It's going to be impossible to find a system, because they're only going to get shipments of 5 and 6 here and there, a week at a time. Nobody's going to know ahead of time.
It won't be that hard to find a system. You can browse on over to eBay and pick one up for like $2,000, I bet you.
Oh, I bet you they'll go for even more than that. I bet you they'll go for even more than that. Because when the Xbox 360 went out, because I almost bid on one of these things when they came out, because I wanted one so bad I couldn't get my hands on it. The highest one that I saw that went on eBay that I was still considering purchasing went for $2,800. Okay, and that was a $399 system. Some of the core systems were going for $1,700 and $1,900 on eBay. So I suspect that the PlayStation 3s that anybody's actually able to get their hands on, I'm going to say that they're going to easily be able to get initially anywhere between $300 and $4,400 for it, easily, on eBay.
And that's what bugs me. That's part of the thing that bugged me with the Xbox 360 when it launched. You had people who really, really wanted one, and they couldn't get one, and you had people who reserved one, who took theirs, put it on eBay, and sold it for much more than what they got it for. That just pissed me off when I saw that happen. It's going to be the same thing with the PS3. People who really want one aren't going to be able to get it, and somebody who took up that reserve spot to get one is going to get one, is going to flip it around on eBay
for more money. Oh, yeah, because it's a quick way to make money. I'll be honest with you. If I can get my hands on two, you better believe I'm going to do it, because I'll keep one for myself, and I'll sell the other one on eBay.
I didn't say I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying it pissed me off when I saw other people do it.
Yep, because I learned from the last experience. I said, okay, well, if I can get two, I'll keep one for myself. I'll sell the other one on eBay. I'll make some money. I'll make back what I spent on the two that I bought so I can actually afford to buy a game.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably be out, of money, because they're not going to be cheap. But, I was trying to understand and wrap my mind around why Sony is not rushing to get these units into production. And then I realized they're purposely not rushing. It was like an epiphany. I think that Sony is banking on not shipping enough units to drive up the demand for the product. They were always saying in the beginning that, we'll sell every single unit that we make. They didn't say at the time how many units they were going to make, but they said, we'll sell every unit that we're going to make. And not only that, but that people will, just be marching over themselves to get their hands on our product because we make such a quality product. So,
you're right. It's one of the oldest marketing strategies in the book, but it works every time.
Oh, yeah.
It never fails.
Because they don't make enough units, so that makes, everybody and their mama have to stand outside the store in hopes of trying to get one, okay? And then that way they can say that all the naysayers on the web that were talking about how it was the death knell for them and all that stuff, that they were wrong, because, see, look, we're doing the best we can, and we're making as many units as we can, but, look at the press. Look at that line. Those are people that want our systems. See, we were telling you that people were going to be wanting a system, but you said they weren't. But we got proof, because look at the lines. But we're going to make them as fast as we can, people. Don't you worry. But if they only deliver 100 units a month to your local GameStop, there are going to be huge lines. There are going to be people that are going to be calling up those stores, dogging those stores, promising people extra money if they can just hold on to a unit for them. And I think that it allows Sony to say that, from the jump, we were right. We had you guys pegged, because if this happens and the lines start and the people start, making this huge demand for this machine because it's in such short supply, we'll end up doing just what Sony said we were going to do from the get-go, and that's pay for the potential of the box. Because we still haven't seen really what it can do. We still haven't seen any games. We've seen pre-rendered video. And so all of this hubbub is going to be made about these systems, and it's just going to be the potential, because I still don't know if Blu-ray is worth it, because I haven't seen anything that proves to me that Blu-ray is worth it.
Neither have I.
Okay. I haven't heard of many games. Assassin's Creed I heard about, and it looks great, but Assassin's Creed's going to be on the Xbox 360.
Good enough for me.
Okay, and the thing that surprised me was that the majority of the footage that you see out there for Assassin's Creed is Xbox 360 footage, with the exception of some of the footage that they had at E3.
I agree 100% with what you're saying, because I haven't seen anything about the PS3. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a great system, but I haven't seen anything about it yet that just makes me want to go out and spend that kind of money for it. And at this point, unless they can show me a helmet or some glasses that I can put on that's going to put me inside of the game, then I'm not sold. I'm not.
No. And I think that that's going to be...
I want to wear a helmet.
Well, you know, you can wear a helmet. You know, get one of those little, one of those spiky ones that look like a little German.
Gestapo.
Gestapo. No, but...
That brings back memories of that little Mario tennis goggle game that came out a long time ago. I forget what it was called and what system it was for. Was it for the N64, maybe?
I think it was for the N64, if I'm thinking of the game that you're thinking. I can't think of the title either, but I know exactly what you're thinking about.
And the concept behind it was pretty cool, too. If they would have just, you know, perfected it a little bit more, it was pretty neat.
Yeah, it really was a fun game. But, you know, I think that Nintendo's really fixed a lot of that stuff. I think that they got a little too, you know, like what Sony's doing right now, up their own ass, because for the longest time, they were the big dog on the block. And then, you know, they got a little too cocky, and then up came Sega, which, you know, I don't care what you say. If you owned a Sega Dreamcast, you know how good the system actually was.
Oh, man.
And you know how good the games really were, and how, even though that controller seemed huge, it was the most comfortable controller that you could have in your hands. Like, I think that if the Dreamcast came out now, it would do really well in this market. I think that it was a little too ahead of its time. I mean, it had the ability to do online games at a time when broadband wasn't even in anybody's home.
I think we did away with the Dreamcast, and I'm probably sure that a lot of fanboys will say I'm wrong, but I think that it didn't have enough of what people wanted to play. It was a great system, but at that time, people were more set in playing like a Mario game, a this kind of game, a Dead or Alive, and or whatever, and a lot of that really wasn't being focused on the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast was putting out new stuff like Berserker. What was it? Berserk. And things like that.
Yeah, Point Blank, and you know, it. They weren't a lot of.
What about a gesture that I loved?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
When they put out Phantasy Star Online, oh my God! You think WoW is addictive? Oh.
Yeah.
You spent so many late nights online playing that game. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me really sad to see what's happening right now with Sony. Because, yeah, I think that the potential for the PlayStation 3 is amazing, okay? I think that there are all kinds of great innovative things that can be done with the controller that has the motion center and with all the games that could possibly be made with all of the power that the system really has to offer. Unfortunately, I haven't seen anything yet that proves that to me, that reassures me enough to go, okay, I can drop $600 on the system, probably another $30 for an extra controller, probably $80 for a game, because I've seen something that reassures me that, yes, it's going to be worth it. I think that once they get past the initial systems launch and learn how to get the PS3 architecture chip to do the emulation to run the PS2 and PS1 games so that they can actually make the box a little bit smaller so that it doesn't look ugly. I mean, the fact that they're making a box that's bigger than the existing Xbox 360 is not a smart move in my book, but that's just me. I think that once they get past that, I think that they'll have a killer system on their hands.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they will. And when they tell me I'm paying for potential, okay, let's say I was fine with that, no problem. You tell me I'm paying for potential, so I spend $600, $599, whatever, on the system. Now, when that potential comes out, according to you, I've already paid for it, so I want to be able to walk in the store, and you give me that potential, whatever it is, for free.
I want that's potential what I'm expecting. Free.
No, but it's a good point. Okay, at this point, if I'm investing this kind of money into the systems, and I'm vested, because I don't care what anyone says, at $600, you have an emotional tie to that box.
Yes, you do.
Okay, yes, when it doesn't boot, you will cry. Yes. Okay.
For $600, I will not throw. You know those little unnecessary paper that comes in the plastic packets inside of the systems that you never really ever look at? I will not throw that away for $600. I will keep that and probably read every word on that packet, on that paper.
You should really see some of the boxes of the systems that I've owned, because I still have all my original packaging and boxes and paperwork for everything. Because
she's anal like that.
I am. I have anal retentive tendencies. I'm not diagnosed. I just have tendencies. So
we
what
know that
if I segregate my...
But that's another podcast.
It really
Ninja.
Is. It really is. I mean, I don't care. So what if I segregate my M&Ms into color packets and eat one of each equally?
I think we're going to have to change your name from Ninja Sister to Monk Sister.
You know. Wow. But I'm not phobic.
Crime first.
I have no phobias. I'm just...
You'd have to solve crimes.
Yeah, and that takes up time, and I really need to get back.
That'd be kind of awkward, though. Like, she would sit there and throw shurikens and, like, kill people, and they'd be like, ew, I can't touch blood.
Yeah. Be like, okay, I can touch the shuriken, but only if it's sterilized and has 3 points. You gotta keep it balanced here, people. But I think that Sony will have a great shot in the market once they get past the initial launch, because there's gonna be problems. There's always problems with a Rev 1 version of any hardware or software. You can ask any developer, any publisher, anybody who's ever written code. There's always problems, so of course that's gonna happen, and you know, I'm gonna point all the problems out, because you know, I just do that. But I think that if Sony doesn't stop coming out and making these comments that they're making with this kind of arrogant attitude, I think that's the thing that's been really pushing a lot of people and rubbing them raw. And I think rubbing a lot of the consumer base raw is that they're saying all of these things with these stats that, you know, sure, we're not making the boxes yet, but we'll have plenty. Don't worry. You know, don't get your knickers all twisted. We got you, okay? Do you think that $600 is too much for the system? It's pricey, but it's potential you're paying for. Don't worry. Shut up and take it. You know, it makes me so angry because I know that there's potential there. You don't have to tell me that there's potential there. I'm smart enough to understand that with any increase in technology becomes a new playground for potential. But at the same time, you know, you've got Nintendo in the background, who's been working on a new box, who's obviously in production. And now there's a rumor that the Nintendo box is going to come out for under $200.
Yay.
Okay.
Hey.
All right. One of the, I can't remember if it was a CEO or a VP from EA, said $170 because that's what it was going to retail for in Japan. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you do the yen conversion, then that would make a $199 price point extremely possible for a Nintendo Wii. So now I'm thinking, all right, you got Microsoft, who is undoubtedly going to do a price drop on the Xbox 360 before the holiday season starts, because they'd be stupid not to.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that coming, without a doubt. You've got the $600 PlayStation 3, which we're all in agreement is the only version of the PlayStation 3 worth getting at this point, because mm-hmm. if you're going to have a big screen TV at any point, you're going to have the version of the box that can do HD, period, end of story. So the $500 box isn't even viable. And then you've got a sub $200 system that's easy to use, that's going to have a shitload of launch titles available. You're going to be able to use your old GameCube peripherals on the box. You're going to be able to play your old GameCube games on it out of the box. And the online game titles, including Double Dragon, are going to be available on launch day for free.
Woohoo!
Okay, that's going to be eating Sony's lunch for a while. I don't care what they say. They'll sell every box, but Nintendo's come to play, and I think it's kind of sneaky how they just kind of was like, oh, look at us at E3, okay, bye!
Yep. I remember a few months ago, Nintendo was pretty much in the shoes of Sony right now, where everybody was like, you know, Nintendo's not going to do good. They're not saying anything about their system. We don't know what's going on. You know, they're losing the console wars. And then all of a sudden, they're in the lead. They're kicking ass.
Big time, big time. You know, they're having this event on the 14th, and everyone believes on the 14th of September, Nintendo is going to actually come out and start talking about the system. Launch date, price, game price, what's going to be available when, and all the specifics. Media has been invited to the thing, and all Nintendo is saying in the invitation is that Reggie Fils and me is going to be handling it. So you know that there are announcements about the system that are coming.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the release date is going to be...
because they can't hold us off any longer. There are people that want to pre-order this thing, like me. I know that I have to sit back and watch how this all unfolds, but I have a feeling that for a while it's going to be pretty negative for Sony. I mean, yes, they're going to sell every unit that they actually do ship, but I think that the reason why they're not in manufacturing right now is so that they can only ship a limited number, so they can say, yep, see, we told you we'd ship everyone that we'd sell everyone that we shipped. We just happened to ship, you know, 3 million less than we thought we would. And then they win, and they end up not being liars. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, here's my 2 cents about the Sony PS3. It's gonna go for about $600 fine. Sell me a system for $300 and let me decide if I want to spend my other $300 on potential. And that's it for me.
Yeah, that would be the smart thing to do. That's the only thing that Microsoft has done that I've been like, you know what? They kind of did the right thing on their way of implementing HD, because, you know, to do the HD part, you have to buy an external drive. So if you want to spend the money, you can. If you don't, you're not tied into it as your only option. So I thought that was smart. Yeah, if Sony had done that and had a $300 box and a $600 box and said, okay, you got standard def and high def, pick. I don't think that we would have the backlash that we've been having. We would have the problem that we've been having. But I've been asked a question by Jonathan from Great Britain. And his question is, what do you think of all the new consoles being limited to a TV screen? Especially since the future is supposed to be, you know, 3D. And it's a good point, because one of the things that has come up is that, have you heard about the thing with Dead Rising on the Xbox 360?
Okay. That's being developed in Japan.
What, Dead Rising being developed in Japan?
No. What had happened was...
technology that's been... I mean, at the moment, we watch television and DVDs and so forth, but they're always restricted to your TV screen. Now, with new consoles and the power that they have, CPU and so forth, do you think that it's wasted on a TV screen? I mean, you can buy a HD 50-inch for like $999, but don't you think that's a waste?
I think it really depends on the type of gaming that you do. Most
gamers are into 3D... either sort of, racing cars, shoot 'em ups, role playing, anything like that. Any of those would benefit from 3D holo sort of units, wouldn't they? Do you think?
Wouldn't
you like it?
Absolutely. I don't know if the technology is really there. I know that they're starting to really get into doing some more really intensive HD holographic, you know, different dimensional games. I know that's where they want to be able to go.
In the middle of your living room, and you can just sort of, you know, you can sort of walk around it or sort of through it or whatever, and everything's just sort of projected from these units.
Yeah, and I think that would be absolutely amazing. I don't think it's ready. You know, I don't even think it's close to being ready. I think that so many of these developers are having such a hard time making games on the systems that we have now. I mean, at this point in the game, we're looking at 3-year development cycles for games for the systems that are out now.
What, about PlayStation 3?
For the PlayStation 3, for the Xbox 360, where they're still, you know, at the minimum, it's a 2-year development cycle. if you're doing anything new with any of your runtime engines or physics engines. And so it's such an involved process, and it's so deep and it's so consuming. You know, there's a reason why EA is a taskmaster on the programmers that they have, is because they have to in order to ship a game out in time. So I think that with all the technology that would be involved moving to that next plateau, I don't think we're going to see it.
Do you think software developers are forced to sort of rush these games out on times that these consoles are out?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And when these games come out with bugs, you know, it puts people off in a way, doesn't it, on both parties?
I think it really does. Like, if you've ever read the Game Developer magazine, which I recommend to any gamer, just because most of the stuff is really over my head, because it's mostly for the game developers. They talk about physics and math and all that stuff, but they have this one article in there, which is they call Postmortem, where they talk with the developers, and the developers actually go through and list the top five things that they did right in the development cycle and the top five things that they did wrong in the development cycle. And it's an amazing thing to look and actually really get a feel for what actually goes into the development cycle and what goes wrong. And what always seems to be a reoccurring thing is they don't have enough time to test the game. They don't have enough budgeted in order to spend the time that they really need to get the game done.
Yeah.
And they're rushed to get it out the door.
These huge companies like Sony and Nintendo and all the rest of them, I mean, they come up with these huge processors in conjunction with Toshiba and all the rest of it, but the game developers seem to be sort of lagging behind, and it's not their fault, actually, because they're trying to make the best of what the consoles have. And in that, they're sort of trying to sort of fulfill all the potential of the console, but the games are rushed out, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do, because you can see it happen, because you have so many games that are based on, you know, for instance, the Unreal Engine. Rather than making a new engine of their own to save time, they grab this engine and then try to tweak it to get it to work with their mechanics, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, so I definitely see that as a problem. I definitely see, you know, development cycles, especially with the PlayStation 3, are going to become longer now.
I'm sorry?
I think that the development cycles, especially with the PlayStation 3, are actually going to become longer now. I mean, Sony has just now gotten out dev kits to developers that run cooler than the previous versions, so they can actually test their games and not have to worry about destroying the dev kit.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it is actually, yeah. But then again, Microsoft seem to be, well, they seem to be ahead of the game, but I don't know whether they'll actually hold the game, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that'll be interesting to see with what happens with Nintendo actually getting their Wii system on. Because a lot of developers are saying that, you know, it's actually a lot easier right now to throw efforts into developing for the Wii than for any other system that they have going on right now. Ubisoft has said that they're developing more games now for the Wii than before, that they had planned to. They've actually pulled some of their money for development for PlayStation 3 games to put it into the Wii. And, you know, if the developers are saying it's a lot easier for us to do this over here, and we think that this is going to be the winning horse as opposed to the PlayStation 3 initially, if that doesn't, you know, tell you what's really going on in the industry, I don't know what would.
I suppose as consumers, our information will always be limited, won't it, really, I suppose.
It always will, until somebody has some kind of problem. Okay? When something goes horrifically bad and they get held to the fire and people get interested enough to ask the hard questions, we'll get information. But until then, it's just going to be party line information.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for your chat tonight, anyway.
No problem. Thanks for commenting. Great question.
Thank you.
But
I definitely agree with what you were saying about, like, with the being able to use like some kind of projector or something by now instead of just a regular television. Mm-hmm. I think at this stage in the gaming industry and for the amount of money that they want us to spend on these systems, we should be there by now. Sony keeps talking about that potential. You're paying for that potential. Well, for that much amount of money, even though it's a big screen television, I should not just be limited to that by now. I should be playing something on some kind of big projector where it immerses me. Immerses me inside of the game or something like that.
Well, you know, just like the virtual goggles back when you could hook that thing up, you know, the Virtua Boy, and you could get that 3D kind of sense, even though, you know, it was weird colored or whatever. Yeah, I can definitely understand that, you know, we're coming up on 2007. You know, we should have something a little more futuristic. However, on the other end, knowing how, you know, in its infancy still, that holographic stuff really is, and the fact that you're dealing with light, and so they're still trying to, you know, figure out how to, you know, interact with that, and so that when you make a touch or you make a move and, you know, disturb that plane, how to get the computer to understand it, it's just not there. I'd love for it to be there. I don't see that happening for at least another 15 years, okay? Because, again, it's all about what they can actually afford to do. They can barely afford the development cycles of the current-gen systems to try and put the cart before the horse on that next-gen thing, and that's a few next-gens away. I don't see them doing it, but I can understand that because, no, we shouldn't just be limited to a TV screen at this point. You know, we should be able to have games that really are immersive for us, you know, not just, okay, I put on my headphones and now I have, you know, sound immersing me everywhere and I get in my game chair and it's got a rumble pack, you know, underneath my butt and on my back so that, you know, when the plane shakes, I feel it. So that helps. You know, it should be more than that, but right now that's all they can afford to develop for.
It's only a matter of time before people, as much as people love that Unreal Engine, it's only a matter of time before people start saying, hey, you know what? I'm spending more and more on these games and on this system. I'm tired of playing this same Unreal Engine over and over again, just with a different storyline.
Because gamers are starting to recognize, oh my gosh, no, that's the same movement. I know where that movement comes from. It's the Unreal Engine, which, don't get me wrong, when that engine first came out, it was the best engine that anybody had ever seen. Okay.
Wow.
You know, it allowed for great character interaction. You know, you didn't just kill somebody and then, you know, have their body just kind of meld into yours when you walk through them. You had that interactive physics thing. And that's great, because we needed that. But because the Unreal Engine did that so well for so long, that's all people used. They would grab the engine and go, okay, well, the physics are really done, but we want to be able to have this kind of story, so the engine doesn't really work for that, so we'll try to tweak it. And then it just ends up sucking. Did you ever play Oni? Because that's what happened. You know? And I always thought that was kind of weird because, you know, Bungie did it, so I figured that they would use their own engine, but, I was wrong. I think that the next few months are going to be very interesting. I don't think that Sony is going to ship 2 million PlayStation 3 units on launch date here in the U.S. I don't think that it will be as low as 700,000, but I don't think it's going to be 2 million. I think that, you know, they'll probably ship about 1 million. If they start production, because once they ramp up production, all they're going to do night and day is have that factory turning out machines. Because that's the only way you can have a factory be profitable, is if it's manufacturing all the time, that there is no downtime. So I think that actually once they find a factory, that won't be a problem. But I don't think that they're going to hit 2 million. I don't think it's going to be 700,000. I do think that there's going to be a lot of people clamoring for the system so that they will have that demand, or at least that visible, you know, image of demand for the system so that they can go back to their stockholders and say, see, but we were right. So you were right to invest. Just let us handle this. We know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And then they'll play catch up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so basically a lot of people should just be preparing themselves to get the second shipment speech from their local game dealer.
Yep, that's right.
The unconfirmed second shipment speech.
Yep, we're waiting for another shipment. It hasn't come in yet. Just keep
calling.
We
have no idea when it's
coming. We don't know if they're not. Well, and they don't, because Sony doesn't tell them. Okay, a truck just pulls up and says, we have a shipment for you. They sign for it, and then they see what it is. So most of the time, they're not really lying about that. Like, I used to think they were, but I had a guy pull me aside and goes, no, look, really, this is how it works. Because we don't know when stuff's coming in. There are some things that get scheduled to come in, but with things like this, they don't want us to know because they don't want us to go, you know, if you'll sign me an extra $300, I can tell you when that shipment's coming in. Because Sony doesn't want that to happen and them get sued. So they really don't, just like with Apple. When Apple ships stuff to their stores, the stores don't know they're getting it until Apple tells them to open the crate. So it's really to protect us, but it creates a bigger problem because only so many pre-orders are going to be taken and be filled. And there are going to be real gamers that are going to be kept from getting on the pre-order list because they're going to be people who are going to do the eBay thing. There are going to be people who just want to have one so they can say that I got one of the first batch, but I'll never open it and never play it. That just is going to happen. I think that people are going to have a hard time finding the system. So if you really want one for Christmas, you better start dogging the web and your local gaming store now. Make some friends. And as soon as you see that they're going to do a pre-order, you better jump on it. Because those things are going to disappear quick.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it. It surprises me because I'm the kind of consumer that I have to have it on the day it comes out, even if it's something I don't want. Because, for instance, when this PlayStation 3 comes out, I'm saying now I don't want one and I'm not getting one, which I won't. But when that release day hits and I'm not getting one and I know everybody else is picking one up, it's going to hurt me.
Yeah.
But I'm not feeling where I have to get one on the day it comes out, as opposed to where I'm just going to wait for it like a few months later, a year later. You know, I'll be able to walk in and say, hey, can I get a PlayStation 3? Sure, we have one right here. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see anything yet that makes me just have to have it on that release date.
Yep, and I can understand that. I have to have it because I have to be able to review shit. Fucking Sony.
I'll mooch off for you.
You come visit. I got a big TV, dude. And I got a feeling that everybody in my village, in my apartment complex, is going to want to come and visit on that day.
Were you just about to say village?
I was about to say village. Because it's like a village. There are a lot of gamers in my building, I found out.
Really?
Yeah. So they do. They knock on the door. Are you playing Warcraft? No, I don't play Warcraft. Oh.
Yeah, I do.
Do you have an Xbox 360? Yeah, well, I got this game. I got a controller. Go get it. But anyway.
I don't have a 360, but I got this game.
Yeah.
Can I play it?
Yeah. But it's a quick way to make friends. So we'll see. I absolutely have to have a Nintendo Wii day one. There's no way around it. I have to have it. Not just for the website, but it actually looks like fun. And I'm really excited about the machine. So I have to have one of those day one.
I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for the, it's called Red Steel on the Nintendo.
Oh,
Wii. Awesome.
I'm sorry. I need a towel because you said Red
awesome.
Steel. Yeah. Yeah,
that
Red Steel is going to be
great clip.
Huge.
If I knew nothing about the Nintendo Wii and that was my first time seeing anything about it, I would be sold on that little video clip.
Absolutely. Because if I know nothing about the controller, the force feedback, the motion sensor, all of that, and saw Red Steel, I'd buy one just to play Red Steel. And that's the definition of a killer app.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think this podcast is toast.
I think it's toast, too.
So, Deuce, you think it's toast?
I'd have to say so. You might have burned the toast by now.
Well,
yeah,
you know.
I think we left it in the toaster too long.
But see, I turned it on 3 instead of 7, so it should still be okay. I don't smell a fire and my alarm didn't go off, so I think we're good. But,
yeah.
Panda, what are you going to do with your toast?
No, I'm not really hungry.
Then you should donate it.
I think I'm going to donate my toast.
Me?
No.
No? What?
I'm gonna put my toast in the guilt bank.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. The weaning process of WoW is going very well for her.
Well, I'm giving my toast to somebody else who could possibly need it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's gonna store stamina. It's gonna help.
Deuce, what are you doing with your toast?
I think I'm going to hold mine and nibble on it while I'm waiting in the long Nintendo Wii line.
It's good because you're probably going to need rations.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going to donate my toast to Jack Thompson because he looks malnourished. I saw a picture from the other day and I was like, ooh, you need some food. So anyway, as always, you gotta keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, home of the fucking best.
Aw, you did it before I could do it.
Girl Gaming, an anime podcast. Man. As always.
Don't take my line.
I'll do whatever I want. I run this kingdom.
Uh-oh.
Just kidding. It's a principality. Anyway, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we want to thank our guest, Deuce, as well, for stopping by for our cast. We love having you.
Thanks again.
And we're out.
We're out.